tonight?
Well, tonight, right after the service, we're going to have a small meeting for the men's advance, guys who are going on the men's advance, just a quick meeting just to answer some last-minute questions and go over a couple things as far as timing and all the small stuff and just some questions that need to be answered there. So just right after service in the Royal Airs, well, that's going to be busy. Where should we meet? Good answer, right over here. So just right up here, okay? Yep, I like the first answer. That's a good one. It does feel quite a bit different in here, not being able to go back in that office area. But this week, we've already had some work done. Some men came and took down all the electrical and stuff that was in there, and then took yesterday, all the fire lines and sprinkler lines and stuff came out of there, and all that's been repaired and up and going and all that fun stuff. But just a little bit of progress here and there, and it's going quick. Drywall dust gets everywhere. So grab your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 11. Be praying for Pastor this week. He's going to be, I believe, going on last at men's advance. So be praying for that. So that should be, I believe, Saturday. And then he'll be preaching there in Stillwater at the church there Sunday morning. So just keep him in your prayers. His heart, of course, is here. He sent me a message that said, praying for you, with a little heart right next to it, right before the service. So that made me feel all warm and fuzzy. So let's go ahead and stand and turn to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, and we're just going to read one verse tonight. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1. The Bible says, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. And when I first read that verse, I started, the verse came to mind, it just came to mind from memory. And I've read this verse usually on the 11th day of the month for many, many years. But this verse, when I was repeating it in my head, it was, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. You say, what's the difference between a false balance is abomination or is an abomination? Not much, really. But when I was studying through this verse, when I was thinking of it being an abomination, the first thing that came to my mind is to start looking up other abominations in the Bible. If this is an abomination, this is just one of many. And so I started looking that up, but then when I came back to this verse, the verse says a false balance is abomination. And so it was like God was tapping me on the shoulder and said, hey, focus here. A false balance, this thing, this is abomination to the Lord. But on the other side of that, a just weight is. It is his delight. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, sure thankful for tonight, the opportunity to preach your word, and pray, God, that you would put me behind the cross, that you would be lifted up and glorified this evening, and pray, God, that you speak to your people, myself included, Lord, and pray, God, that you would get the glory and honor from it and for it, and pray these things in your precious name. Amen. All right, you all may be seated. We've all felt the injustice of a false balance, or at least most of us have. Go file an insurance claim. See how that works out for you. You pay every month into insurance for your car, for your home, and you think in your mind that there is some little account that they are stocking that money away in for you, just in case something bad happens. Until something bad happens and you find out that's a lot of times not the case, and you can come out on the end of that in a false balance. You think about buying something, finding out it's not really worth what you paid for it. You get on Craigslist and you buy a one-of-a-kind gun, one-of-a-kind rifle, $5,000. Beautiful gun. And you take it to your friend's house and you say, look at this one-of-a-kind rifle that I've got. Paid $5,000 for it. And he goes to his gun safe and pulls out the exact same gun and says, well, I got this at Cabela's for $500. So it's two of a kind. So yeah, at least two of a kind. But you start to look at instances like that and you say, well, that was a ripoff. I didn't get the quality of what I paid as to what I got. An instance of that in our lives back in 2020, when the whole world ended. They had a thing during Christmas time, and they called it Christmas in Color. And you could drive in your car because no one could get out of your car, and you had to wear masks inside your own car, which was weird. Still don't understand that one. But you went to Christmas in Color, and it was at the Expo building outside just in the parking lot, and you paid a good amount of money. It wasn't a lot, but it wasn't a little. And you stay in your car, and you turn your radio station to a certain station, and it starts playing Christmas music, and then you drive through Christmas lights, just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And the first year, it was great. The lights, so many lights, and you're looking at all these lights that are going on. They have animatronic figures that are singing along with the Christmas music, and you know, mouths are moving in tune and all with it. And we get done with that. The kids had a blast. We got videos of it. It was great. So the next year, we decide, let's do it again. So we go, and we see Christmas in Color. That year, it costs a little bit more, and it was still pretty good. You turn your radio in, and you start driving through, but now you start noticing that there's a couple lights here and there that weren't lit like they were last year, and the animatronics are moving their mouths to Silent Night, but they're a couple beats back, you know. So, but it was still cool, and it was still fun, and kids had a good time. So then last year we decided to go again, and we take the kids down there and pay, and it's even more this year than it was the last year, and quite a bit more than it was the first year. And you start looking around at these lights, and now you really notice there's a lot of lights out. As a matter of fact, you're like, I think there's more lights missing than are actually blinking right now. And the little gingerbread man that used to sing Silent Night and his mouth was moving, he's got leprosy or something. Something's going on. And he's singing, but it's not in English. There's something. No discernible language. Tongues, maybe. He's speaking in tongues. But you get done with that one, and you go, man, that's kind of a ripoff. I paid even more and got even less. Expected inequality of what I paid to what I got. Now, this verse, if you look at a false balance, is abomination to the Lord. But a just weight is his delight. The idea behind this verse is a scale. And not like the one we stand on and go, or some of you don't. I do. I look at, okay, I got to do something. It's a different type of scale. And most of you know what I'm talking about. It has that centerpiece down here and a T up top and two baskets kind of things on both sides. And scales were fundamental for ensuring fair trade, particularly in dealings that involved goods which were traded by weight, like precious metals, gold, silver, spices, grains, that kind of thing. And the idea behind the scale was you would have a weight, and you would have a weight that weighed 10 pounds. This does not weigh 10 pounds, but you had a weight that weighed 10 pounds, and you'd put it on the scale. And say they wanted 10 pounds of wheat. So they would take the 10 pounds of wheat and put it on this other side of the scale. And once you met 10 pounds, what would happen to those scales? They would balance. Okay. So you paid $10, or you paid for 10 pounds of wheat, and you got 10 pounds of wheat. Now, a false balance. I always thought of this verse when you look at those scales as uneven scales being a false balance. Uneven scales aren't a false balance. That's just unbalanced scales. So the idea behind this is that a false balance is abomination to the Lord. It's taking the just weight out, the weight that we know weighs 10 pounds, and putting something there that says 10 on it, but doesn't weigh 10 pounds. On the inside, it's hollowed out or something like that, and that weight actually weighs 8 pounds. But it says 10 pounds. So then you're selling 10 pounds of wheat, so they start loading the wheat up on the other side of the scale. And it's going to balance, but it's not going to balance at 10 pounds. It's going to balance at 8 pounds. So the person who is selling is walking away with its balanced scales, but they're really tipped in his favor. They're really tipped in his favor. Uneven scales are not a false balance because there's no balance there. A false balance is when the scales read balanced but are actually weighed in our favor. So you look at that and you start to think about this verse. An abomination. That's a strong word. That's a strong word to describe this. Abomination is extreme hatred. God hates it. A false balance is abomination. An example of this is in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, you see Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira, who go off, husband and wife, if you don't know the story, they sell some land. And they get a price for that land. And what they do is they come up with a scheme and they decide amongst themselves that we are going to say that we sold the land for less. So what the portion that we give to God is going to be less, and then we can just pocket the difference. It's a good scheme. I sell the house for $200,000, but I'm going to tell them I sold it for $100,000, so God's portion will be less and I get to keep the remaining. Well, if you know the story in Ananias and Sapphira, Ananias goes in and Peter calls him out on it. Says, you're not just lying to me, you're lying to God, you're stealing from him. You say, what? And Ananias dies. Sapphira comes in a couple hours later and says the exact same thing, not knowing her husband had died, and she dies. You say, what's the point of all of that? They lied about the price so they could keep the profit. They were the scales were balanced in their favor. The scales were tipped in their favor, excuse me. Now, this verse is one of those verses that we can just pop off in our minds a lot of times. We have to understand that this is more than some moral maxim to live by. We start to think about the book of Proverbs as kind of being the fortune cookies of the Christian world. You know, you open that fortune cookie, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. All right. And we put it away just like we'd put away the fortune cookies. You open those fortune cookies and you treat it just the same as you open one that says, Confucius says, man who is wrong on elevator, or excuse me, makes a mistake on an elevator is wrong on so many levels. It's good. You can open another one and it says, Confucius say, man who stands on toilet is high on pot. Say, that's dumb, Brother Adam. It is. But in all honesty, it's just as dumb. It's just as dumb to take the word of God and treat it the same way. You look at this verse, and it's a warning that's given by God as to what he delights in and to what he hates. And what he hates extremely. The Bible says this is an abomination to the Lord. Charles Bridges once said, how valuable is the book of God in its minute detail of principles for every day's conduct. It is pretty amazing that God even starts to go down to our business dealings with each other. This book, if you search this book, you can find everything represented here for how we ought to live our life towards other people and towards God. Our conduct with others, it shows our conduct with God. So you say, why is this such an abomination to God? Why would a false balance like that be an abomination to God? Well, number one, it's sin. It's lying, it's theft. But number two, if you start to think about it, how you deal with others represents the measure of God's standard in your life. And number three, we have to remember as Christians that we are Christians. And we actually represent him. I tell the kids on the bus, the church bus, getting on it all the time. Or tell the workers that were on the work bus. The workers on the church bus. To these kids, you represent God. You represent God. And you representing God and do this same thing. It's such an abomination to the Lord because in representing God, you give his righteousness and his holiness a bad name. As a matter of fact, if you look up abomination in Webster's 1828 dictionary, it's going to say that it's extreme hatred. God hates it. But right under that, it says pollution. You're polluting the image of God. And that's why he hates it so much. I literally think about this. I was at work one day and was talking with my coworkers, and another one of my coworkers came in, and she actually goes to church at South Valley, and she came in and said, so-and-so got saved. And I was in front of all the coworkers, and I was like, praise the Lord, that is awesome. And then two of my coworkers start saying, well, what does that mean? What does it mean to be saved? And I was like, ka-ching. All right, let's go. It was awesome. Telling them what it means to be saved, that we're a sinner, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, that the only way we get to heaven is by putting our faith and trust in him. It has nothing to do with what the good works that you do, anything like that. It's all about him. He did everything for us. It was awesome. Until one of my other coworkers spoke up. And he said, man, I'm a Christian too. I'm a Christian too. That's awesome. And then he walked out. And then the two coworkers I was talking to turned to me and said, if that's what he has, I don't want it. I don't want it. Because he had the testimony of just yuckiness, is the best way to put it. And if that's who he represents, if that's his God, then I want nothing to do with it. A false balance is abomination to the Lord. But a just weight is his delight. How we deal with each other matters. And there should be a balance in our dealings with each other. But I think there's more to this verse than just business ethics. When we measure against the principle here, is that there is a just weight. A just weight. To measure our dealings against. And when we measure against that just weight, the Bible says that it's his delight, that he delights in that. With a false balance, we can fool other people. And in all honesty, when we have a false balance in our own life, we can start to fool ourselves. But we can't fool God. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 12, the Bible says, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Well, God has. Every drop. And meted out heaven with a span. How many of you guys have ever, you're in your house and you're thinking, man, that would look really good over there. Let me measure it, and you can't find a tape. And so you do the next best thing. You go up to it and you go, and then you start walking through the house like this. And then inevitably you hit something and go, oh. It's gone. But he's meted out heaven with a span. And comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure. I can't even comprehend the amount of drywall dust we created the last week. Comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, every speck, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. God knows the measure and balance of everything. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the Bible says, the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, God can. He knows the measure of those things. He knows your heart, he knows our dealings, and he knows our motives. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 16. I'm only going to make you turn to three verses tonight, and this is number two. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 11. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 11, the Bible says, a just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. A just weight and balance are the Lord's, and all the weights of the bag are his work. If you think about these scales and you think about doing business that way, you're going to have a bag full of weights. If someone wants to buy a pound of grain, you need a pound, a weight that weighs a pound. If they want to buy 5 pounds, you need a 5-pound weight. If they want to buy 10 pounds, you need a 10-pound weight. And you're going to have to work your way up to those. You have to have something that can be measured against. But the Bible says all the weights of his bag are his work. And they are true weights to be balanced by. And then turn over to Proverbs chapter 20. Because here's the problem. Is we start to weigh ourselves not by the just weight, but against different weights. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 23, the Bible says, "Divers weights are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good." Now, I look at this verse, and honestly, it does make me chuckle a little bit, because there was a time as a young Christian where I looked at this verse and said, "Divers weights." Well, people who dive in the ocean, they need to wear weights, okay, to get down to the bottom. And I said, well, God really, really hates divers who wear weights. Now, I am convinced thoroughly, and none of you will be able to sway me, that the ocean is not for us, that God does not want us in the ocean. Okay, if God wanted us in the ocean for any way, shape, or form, we'd have gills, we'd have flippers for feet, okay? As a matter of fact, if you don't want someone in your yard, you get a big, nasty dog, and that's what sharks are. See, even God is saying, I don't want you here. That's what sharks are for. There are monsters in the ocean. God's way of saying, don't go there. I don't want you there. You got feet, and you can't breathe underwater. God must not like divers. But that's not what it means. Diverse weights are different weights. Diverse, just another word for different. Different weights. Diverse weights are an abomination unto the Lord. See, what we like to do is we like to take out the just weight and put in different weights. Say, why would we do that? Because it's easier for us to measure up to it. It's easier for us to measure up to it. And some of the ways that we do this and some of the false balances that we create. Now, I've even heard this verse used, a false balance is abomination unto the Lord. Use this verse to try to justify balancing worldliness and godliness. Worldliness and godliness. But the Bible says you can't balance those things. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. But if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And so you try to balance worldliness and godliness. And that's something that Christians do battle. And when we take the just weight of God away and we start putting different weights in there, we can start trying to balance things that shouldn't be balanced. And when we allow worldliness into our lives and everything that comes with that, what we do and what we watch and what we see, what we allow in, and try to balance those things against godliness. And we try to justify what we've let in by what we're doing over here. And you start to think about, I go to church, I'm in Sunday school, I come on Wednesday nights, I do what I'm supposed to do here, but then when church is over, we go back home and the world is just let in. And we allow those things in. The problem with allowing those kind of things in is in order to balance, we try to add more things over here to justify letting that stuff in. Now the problem with that is we start adding these things and the joy that comes from serving the Lord, it's no longer there because the world is in our lives, but we start to resent these things because they're not providing for us like they should. How much are you letting in? And in all honesty, almost more importantly, what weights are you using to justify it? Another one in Galatians 5, you don't have to turn there, but I'm going to. Galatians chapter 5, we start to try to balance the flesh and the spirit. We try to have a balance between the flesh and the spirit, and we use a verse like this, that a false balance is abomination unto the Lord, so I should be able to balance the living for my flesh and living for the spirit. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, we just went through the fruits of the Spirit in Sunday school for many, many weeks. As Miss Jerry just had her last painting class, the fruits of the Spirit, out there. Some of the ladies came and painted some fruit with fruits of the Spirit on it. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, he says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And then the very next verse actually tells us exactly why these two will never balance in our lives. "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." The flesh is fighting against the Spirit, and the Spirit is fighting against the flesh. And you can't balance these things. It's either one or the other. So you start allowing things into our lives, and as Christians, we start allowing the flesh to win. We start looking at things we're not supposed to be looking at. Our phones start going places they shouldn't go. Our eyes start looking at things that, man, we shouldn't be there. Lust starts to enter into our lives. See, just like the fruit of the Spirit, there's works of the flesh. And what's down in the well will eventually come up in the bucket. But as Christians, we like to justify those things. We like to justify that this is in my life. It's not hurting anybody. It's just in my own mind. It's just in my thoughts. It's just what I'm thinking. It's not coming out. Nobody's seeing it. It's not having an effect on anybody around me. But what's down in the bucket or down in the well will eventually come up in the bucket. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. The works of the flesh produce something. And then we start looking at why we're not producing fruit like we should in our lives. But you can't have both. The works of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit are completely opposite from one another. You can't have all of those things that I just named and have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We start looking at the lust of my flesh and eyes and my mind. It's not hurting anybody. I'm at church. I'm good. Bible says there's none good. No, not one. Now we start thinking I'm good, and what we do is we create this picture in our mind that somehow we have this balance. I'm able to allow that because I have this. It's a false balance. How about this one? Acts chapter 4. We try to balance our personal perception with our zeal for God. Our personal perception and our zeal for God. We try to have this balance or this out in the world, a testimony with other people where I don't want to necessarily let them know that I go to church like I do. I don't want to let them know things that are going on in my life. I don't want them to think I'm one of those Jesus freaks. I don't want them to think that I'm one of those guys that's going to go knocking on their doors and telling them about Jesus and telling them without him they'll spend an eternity in hell. So we try to balance that perception with over here we do love God. And we have some kind of zeal to do something for him. And we try to create a balance there. In Acts chapter 3, you see Peter and John, right outside the beautiful gate, the lame man's healed, where he says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee." And the lame man rises up and walks. And then after that, you see in chapter 4, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, and they laid hands on Peter and John and took them and held them. And finally, they sat there and asked him in verse 7, "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked him, by what power or by what name have ye done this?" And then Peter in verse 8 says, "Filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if this day we be examined by the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto all of you and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. It's pretty amazing to me that Peter's so bold in that moment. Peter's literally in front of men who could very well take his life. And I thought about this earlier today. Peter, who had some zeal for God, right? Who had some zeal. I will not deny you. If they take my life, I won't deny you. But then when he gets in front of other people, he denies them three times. He denies them three times, catches eyes with the Lord, and goes and weeps bitterly. And then you see later on Peter jumping out of the boat to run to Jesus. But in this very moment, Peter now has a different perspective. And in front of these people who could very well kill him, and given that second opportunity, he is bold and brazen in front of them. In the name of Jesus, this was done. You know, remember him? The one you killed. It's pretty amazing to me. But what I was actually getting at with this verse is in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Unlearned and ignorant men. See, we want the benefits of trying to serve God and having some kind of zeal for him, but we don't want other people to know. Because out in this world, you're going to have a perception of you that you don't like. As a matter of fact, you start telling people, on a Wednesday night, I listen to a bald guy scream for an hour. I go to church on Sunday morning for Sunday school, and I stick around for Sunday service. I'm usually there till noon, unless Brother Adam's locking up, and then I'm there till 4. Sorry. And then come to choir at 4. And then I'm there for Sunday night. And then as a matter of fact, tomorrow we're going to be driving 22 hours or something like that on a bus halfway across the United States. And they're going to look at you and go, you are unlearned and ignorant. It's a big trip. But if you take a stand for the Lord, you're going to be weird to the world. Now, I don't think we need to be extra weird. But the only way we're going to be seen as normal in the world's eyes is if we're trying to balance by different weights than God's weights. How about this? Trying to balance 1 foot in and 1 foot out. 1 foot in and 1 foot out. In thinking about that, I thought about Saul in the Old Testament. And God commands Saul to completely destroy the Amalekites and all they have. And Saul spares King Agag instead and the best of the livestock under the guise of sacrificing them to the Lord. Directly disobeying God's command for complete destruction. Say, what was Saul doing? He was trying to have the best of both worlds. He knew exactly what God wanted him to do. He had clear instructions. Wipe them out and everything they have. He knew exactly what he was supposed to do. But he wanted the best of both worlds. He left their king alive and took the best of their livestock. And you see Samuel come into the picture and you start seeing, you know, Saul in that very moment, God rejected him as king because of this. 1 foot in, 1 foot out. We have to start understanding what that actually is. It's partial obedience. Partial obedience, which is disobedience. Partial obedience is disobedience. And that kind of partial obedience will never balance against a just weight. And we use these different weights and false weights and measurement to help justify the way that we want to live. And we can create these false balances in our lives pretty easily. I'm going to turn to Job, the book of Job. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. Job chapter 31. In Job chapter 31, you start to see Job go through every aspect of his life and his daily living, asking God to search for an unbalance there. I'm going to read some of these to you because some of them may actually hit home. He's saying here, if I have walked in vanity or my foot hath hasted to deceit, if my step hath turned out of the way in verse 7 and mine heart walked after mine eyes, and if any blot hath cleaved to my hands. Or in verse 9 it says, if mine heart hath been deceived by a woman, or I have laid wait at my neighbor's door. Verse 13, if I did despise the cause of my maidservant or manservant or my maidservant when they contended with me. Verse 16 says, if I have withheld the poor from their desire, I have caused the eyes of the widow to fail. Verse 19, if I have seen any perish for want of clothing or any poor without covering. Verse 21, if I have lifted my hand against the fatherless. Verse 24, if I have made gold my hope or have said to the fine gold, thou art my confidence. If I rejoiced because of my wealth was great and because mine hand hath gotten much. Verse 29, if I rejoiced at the destruction of him that hated me or lifted up myself when evil found him. Verse 33, if I covered my transgression as Adam by hiding mine iniquity in my bosom. What he's saying here is in verse 6, he's telling God, let me be weighed in an even balance that God may know my integrity. And Job's searching through his life for any kind of imbalance in his life. So here's the statement tonight. Measuring against a just weight is the only way to be in true balance. Measuring against a just weight is the only way to be in true balance. So tonight, what are the diverse and different weights that you're adding to the scale to tip them in your favor? When we measure against a just weight, when we take God's weights and we place them on the scale, when we take God's word and measure against that, you think about one of those scales, when you put a just weight on there, it takes seconds for us to find out whether we're in balance or not. When we measure against a just weight, we can clearly see where we're out of balance. So tonight, this is honestly the question. When's the last time we went before God and just said, God, just like Job, let me be weighed. Let me be weighed in an even balance. Let me be weighed in an even balance that you may know my integrity. When's the last time that we got before God and asked him to balance, to weigh our dealings with each other, with the world? When's the last time we asked him to weigh our marriage? When's the last time we asked him to weigh our parenting? See, I don't want a propped up false balance in my marriage and in parenting. We can very easily deceive ourselves with a false balance. It's not just other people. Now, a false balance in our lives, we can do that for some show. But we have that for so long, you start to believe that that is the balance. When's the last time we asked God to weigh our hearts? Just like Job prayed with Adam, the iniquity that he held in his bosom. We can have unbalanced weights for so long that we have hidden sin in our lives that we have yet to deal with. When's the last time we asked God to weigh our motives? To weigh our motives for purity in them. When's the last time we asked God to weigh our zeal? When's the last time we asked God to weigh our zeal for embarrassment? Instead of just trying to justify ourselves or for our unforgiveness and gossip, hard-heartedness, lying, anger, bitterness, or even lack of doing good, the Bible says in the book of James, if any man knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Instead of trying to add those different weights to the scale to try to justify the things that are in our lives that we really know shouldn't be there. When's the last time we just went to God and said, God, measure me? When's the last time we went to God and said, God, measure me because I want to be a delight to you? I want my marriage to be a delight to you. I want my parenting to be a delight to you. I want my motives to be a delight to you. I want my interactions with people to be a delight to you. God, I want my heart to be yours. I want it to be a delight to you. When's the last time we just went to God and said, God, measure me. Measure me because I want to be a delight to you. Let's go ahead and stand. And Brother Marcus, if you'd come, and Avery, if you can play. Like we said earlier, this verse it's not a moral maxim to live by. It's God telling us what he despises and what he loves. And what he loves is when we're willing to take our life and measure it by his just weight. So tonight, if God's spoken to you, if you can say, Brother Adam, God spoke to me about something in my life that's out of balance with him. Or if there's just an area in your life that you know God's been talking to you about that is out of balance with who he is. Because you can fool me. I'm nobody, but you can't fool him. He already knows. And maybe it's just one of those things where we need to go before God and just say, God, measure me. If there's something in my life that's not measured by that just weight, if I've propped that thing up, God, bring it to my mind so I could get it right before you. If the Lord's spoken to you, we'll be in an attitude and spirit of prayer. As Brother Marcus sings, the altar's open.